Well, my name's Sarah. If we haven't met before, I'm one of the other officers here at Parramatta Salvos. And today we are beginning a new sermon series. So if you are a part of our congregation or you visit regularly, you'll know that we often preach in blocks, in series. And we are beginning a new series today called Soul Detox. And it's about being changed from the inside out. And this series coincides with a new life group series that we are launching. So if you've been around for the last few weeks, you'll know that we're trying to get life groups off the ground, small groups, Bible study groups, whatever you want to call it. We're calling them life groups, but these small groups of people meeting together, studying God's word, sharing life together. So there's a couple of groups that already existed in our church community, and we are going to build on that in the coming weeks. We're pretty excited about that. It's looking like we will be launching about 12 groups, about 120 people involved so far. So we're really excited about that. But I want to tell you a little bit about detoxing. This week, I obviously typed the word detox too much into my computer because detox solutions started coming up in my Facebook feed. Has that ever happened to anyone else? If you use social media, sometimes if you search for things, they then start coming up as ads, right? That's how they trick us, get us to buy the things that we think that we want. But this week, I was obviously looking at the word detox, and in my feed on Facebook, advertisements kept coming up for these foot detox pads. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, people always want a quick fix to detoxing their bodies, don't they? So I had a look at these pads. And the theory behind these pads is that when they're placed on the bottom of your feet, when you go to sleep, they absorb toxins, heavy metals, metabolic wastes, parasites, and even cellulite from your body as you sleep. Sounds all right, doesn't it? I kind of got thinking, well, actually, maybe it's not so bad. And what happens is these pads appear darkened in the morning when you wake up, and that's how you know that they worked. Now, I was going to give you a warning about this image because it's kind of gross, but this is a picture of someone's foot. It's kind of disgusting, isn't it? Now, the thing is, I did some research because I thought, well, that's pretty good. That's a lot of waste and toxins that have come out by the looks of it. We better take that off or someone might be sick. Now, I did some research and I found out that actually lots of people are being tricked because there is no proven benefits to using these foot pads. When a study was conducted, they found that there was no toxins, no heavy metals or anything like that. What they did find out is the darkening of these foot pads was caused by heat. So basically, people's sweaty feet in the night were causing the pads to turn black. When they were placed over steam of a kettle, for example, it did the same thing. So it's actually just the colour that the pads turn when they heat up. But you know, lots of people getting tricked by this because we often want a quick fix, don't we? A quick detoxing, a quick cleansing of the body. And people often want to get rid of the bad stuff, but they don't want to stop putting the bad stuff in. Because the thing is about detoxing, our bodies are actually designed to detox quite naturally. Most of us can process the things that we eat, that we put in there. But there are things actually that we can do to make that process more efficient. It's recommended that to detox your body, you drink less alcohol, get enough sleep, drink a lot of water, reduce the intake of sugar or processed foods, and keep active. But you know, if we aren't careful, of course, we continue to put bad stuff in our body, we don't get enough sleep, water, exercise, it makes us feel a little bit blech, doesn't it, when we're not doing those things. And you know, it's the same with our soul. The things that we allow our soul to consume, our minds, our hearts, can end up making us feel a little bit blech. We allow things to seep into our lives that can sometimes cause a build-up. And I have been asking myself the question this week, you know, is what I am allowing into my life, into my soul, really feeding it? And how do I do that while I still live as part of the world? Because we can't remove ourselves from the world and some of the bad stuff that happens within it. Well, the author of this series is Pastor Craig Groeschel. He's written this life group material. And he says this about detoxing and what it means to live in the world. He says, "I don't believe we should draw a line in the cultural sand and live in a sanitized little bubble. On the other hand, we can't just immerse ourselves in every aspect of the world around us and let culture determine our lifestyle habits indiscriminately." So what he's saying is we can't live in a little bubble completely protected, but at the same time, we need to be able to remove ourselves from the things of the world that are damaging to us. And so we're going to give this invitation for you over the next 5 weeks to explore, to ask yourselves these questions and to actually take responsibility for the things that are within your control. You're going to hopefully have the opportunity to share this in life groups as well. So that's the overarching message of the series, but this week we're focusing specifically on lethal language and what it means to experience the power of life-giving words. Now, many of you will know this, but words are powerful, aren't they? The words that we speak carry with them a lot of meaning. And we know that words are powerful. I'm sure if you've been a Christian for many years, you will have heard this topic spoken on over and over again. But you know, the words that we speak are often a place that we fall down. So it does us good, I think, to have a reminder. Now, when we look at the Bible, and we look especially at the book of Proverbs, we see that generally words that are spoken are categorized in two sections. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. See, generally there's two types of words that we speak, words that are life-giving and words that are life-crushing. And the Bible compares these two types of words. I know there's lots of words in between those two, but the Bible talks about life-giving words and life-crushing words. In Proverbs 12:18, it says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Reckless pierce, wise brings healing. Proverbs 15:4 says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." You see how they're held in opposition to one another? So I just want to talk about these two different ways that we can use our words today. So I'm going to start a little bit on the negative side with my first point this morning, which is don't be a life crusher. Don't be a life crusher. See, why is it in life that it is negative words that tend to stick with us, don't they? They often tend to be the ones that we stew over, that we get upset about, that we hang on to. In our verse that was so beautifully read for us in our scripture reading today from Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts." It says, "Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip." Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Another translation says, "Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips." Don't be a life crusher. In fact, the scripture says, "Keep far away from it." Don't even get close to words that are going to crush someone's spirit, that are going to hurt someone else. Now, a little survey for the room today. Who has ever had words spoken to them that have hurt them? Words that have perhaps been white lies, gossip, something thoughtless or careless or mean? Put your hand up if someone's ever spoken words like that to you. Yeah, lots of people. It happens, doesn't it? And it's not just in things that are spoken. These words can be written. These words can be shared in gossip between people. These words very often are shared negatively on social media. We must think before we speak. because our words can be dangerous. I want to share with you a little illustration, a story that made me very sad a couple of weeks ago to read about. I was on Facebook, social media platform where people post, and many of you would know that the Salvation Army has kind of like a little internal shop where we buy our uniforms from or our Salvation Army t-shirts from, and it's called The Trade or Salvationist Supplies. Anyway, The Trade in Melbourne posted an image on Facebook of a new vest type thing. It was a cardigan cross vest for ladies, okay? It was quite lovely. I probably wouldn't wear it, but I'm sure many of my peers would. And I saw this post and I didn't really think much of it. Later on that afternoon, I came back and in my feed, I saw these horrible, horrible comments about this item of clothing. People who were from the Salvation Army, Christian people, being absolutely awful over Facebook, over this piece of clothing, tearing shreds off it. And I just thought, you know what? How harmful is that to the image of the Salvation Army? We're meant to be Christian people sharing the love of Jesus, sharing the red shield with the world, and people are absolutely pulling it apart. Well, someone very wise commented on the post and asked for the things to be removed, called people out, and they were taken down, so don't go and look it up. It's not there anymore. But it just made me think, you know, how harmful can our words sometimes be? Of people reading it, of the poor person that designed the cardigan, they must think they've done a terrible job. But, you know, this is maybe a light version and it's maybe not directed specifically at a person. But I think you get the essence of what I'm saying. Our crushing words can have a ripple effect. We must think twice before we speak, before we write. Not set out to crush people with our words. Because, let's be honest, all of us at times have spoken words that have been hurtful. I wonder if you might be so bold as to confess this morning, have you ever spoken white lies, gossip, careless or mean words? I have. Yeah. It's tough to confess, but I think we have all done that before. Reckless and crushing words aren't words that bring life and hope. And sometimes it does us good to be reminded that our words have power, to weigh up how we speak, to consider if there's anything within us and the way we speak to others that might be harmful to them. And then on the flip side of that, it's also important for us as people of God to guard our hearts, because it's inevitable that people will speak words that are harmful. Now, don't get me wrong, it's important for each one of us to hear words of truth that are spoken in love, sometimes to understand that people might speak to us in correction and accept that. But it's also necessary for us to learn how to block out people's harmful words, not to allow them to consume us and overtake us. And I know how hard that can be. Because the thing is, criticisms often have a greater impact than compliments. And you know, psychologists have actually given a name to some of these negative experiences that impact our brain in a greater way than positive ones. Psychologists would refer to this as the negative bias or the negativity bias. You might remember back in your life, and often we can remember negative events, recall them to mind more often than we remember the positive ones. And it's the same with words. Often we will quickly recall to mind a critical word that has been spoken over us as opposed to many, many positive ones. This happens because we usually dwell on the negative comments and it absorbs into our brains. And I wonder today if there are toxic words that have been perhaps spoken over you that you allow to crush your spirit. That maybe they have lodged somewhere. Well, the passage says, keep vigilant watch over your heart, because that's where life starts. See, we don't only want to be people who don't speak crushing words, but we want to be people who are resilient, who can filter some of those words that at times may come. And how do we do that? Well, a place that we can start is always in Scripture. Scripture is filled with affirmations for us of what God thinks of us, who we are called to be, promises that remind us of who we are. And sometimes we need to come back to Scripture in order to guard our heart. But I want to be realistic with you this morning. Sometimes words are spoken over us that cut so deep that we actually need help to process and heal. And sometimes that healing may come as we speak to a close friend or as we share our journey in a small group. But sometimes we actually need to seek professional help in this form of a psychologist or a counsellor to help us to restore our hearts and minds and to heal from these words that have been spoken about us. Doesn't mean that we become people who don't listen to feedback, but we do need to recognise when people are speaking life-crushing words and learn how to let them go. So don't be a life crusher and learn how to guard your heart so that if life-crushing words are spoken to you, you know how to work through them and not to let them stick. But you know, on the flip side of that, there is a beauty in words, isn't there? And that brings me to my second point this morning, which is be a life giver. This is the choice that we can make. Proverbs 12:18 that we read before says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs 15:4 says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." See, the beautiful thing about words is that we can use them for good, to build people up, to soothe, to heal, to encourage, to love. There is the power of death in words that are spoken. Yes, that can happen, but they can also have the power to bring life. And I want to encourage each one of us this morning, take every opportunity that you get to speak life-giving words. If you think something good about a person, speak it out. Say it to them, send them a message, write it down. Take every opportunity that you get to speak life-giving words, because knowing what we know about the negativity bias, we know that we need to speak more life-giving words over people than negative ones. We need more to overshadow and cancel out the negative words that we've received. Ephesians 4:29 in the New Testament reminds us, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen." In the Message paraphrase, it says, "Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift." And I wonder this morning, are the words that you are speaking to one another, to other people in your life, gifts? Are they building people up? Because, you know, I strongly believe that not only are we able to give life in the words we speak, but there is also power in words to change people's lives. Some words are life-giving, but you know, some words are life-changing. And I don't know if you can recall moments in your life where someone has spoken something to you that has changed the course or the direction of your life, but we each hold that power, which is both scary and a privilege. So I want to encourage you, think about how you can breathe life into people through your words. I want to share with you a story from when I was a youth pastor at Wollongong, youth leader. We used to run a Sunday night youth congregation once a month. And me and some of the leaders decided, you know, we want to set a culture where people are speaking life over one another, encouraging one another. But, you know, that can be awkward, right? It's always way more awkward to go up to someone and tell them something than it is to write it down. So what we did is we started an encouragement time in our service. So each time we gathered together, we would spend 10 minutes with some music in the background. We'd encourage our young people to write a note of encouragement to someone else in the congregation. And then we would go and hand out these letters, and it was a great source of encouragement. It became a much loved tradition in our night service. And you know, Kylie always laughs at me because she says I'm not very sentimental, which is probably true. I like to chuck things out, basically. But you know, I went back and I found something that I have hung on to for many years. And I found this pile of letters. I don't know if you can see how many of them are there. These are all letters that I received from young people in my church community or other leaders or people that we went on camps with. There is this huge, huge stack of encouraging words, words of life that were spoken over my life. And you know, some of these words, all of these words basically, were life-giving. But some of them were life-changing for me. And you know, I have this one letter out of all those letters that I keep in the inside of my Bible. I reckon I probably read this letter once a week because it reminds me of what I'm called to do, reminds me what I need to keep focused on. And you know, the person who wrote me this letter probably 10 years ago now would have had no idea, sitting down at that moment as they prayed, as they asked God what they should say, that this letter would actually change the course of my life. But it did, because it showed me what God wanted from me. And that's very powerful. And we each have the power to be that in someone else's life when we use words that are life-giving, sometimes maybe life-changing, but really that's up to God. So this morning, I'm going to invite Gabe to come and to play for us. And we're going to take a moment in quiet reflection. But what I want to ask you, invite you to do today is to come and to get a piece of paper. There's a piece of paper, pen, some envelopes down the front here. And to actually spend 5 minutes writing a letter of encouragement to someone in our congregation. You can put their name on the letter, first and last name would be great, and we will distribute these letters during the week. But I want to encourage you, use this as a first step to speaking life-giving words and to building that practice into your life. Maybe it's something you're going to sit down and do now once a week. You either send a text or you write a letter to someone, breathing these words of life over people. And as you do that practice more, I guarantee it will get easier to encourage people, to lift people up, because we want to be a church where we speak life-giving words over one another. And you know, I thought I should bring to show you, these are all the letters this morning in our first service that have been written, words that I'm sure are going to encourage and spur people on across our two congregations. So that's exciting, and I want to invite you to do the same thing this morning. So as Gabe plays, I invite you to come to spend a few quiet moments writing, encouraging someone in our faith community, and let's be people that give life to one another. Will you come?